come to the final harvest service tonight, and we bid you welcome in the Saviour's name. We're turning to the hymn 737. Well, if you have a hymn book with you, you can turn to it. Come, ye thankful people, come. Raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. Let's sing this with all of our hearts. Elsewhere tonight, I want you to remember Jonathan as he is in Macrofelt this evening, and Greg is giving his testimony in Ballinahinch. So just now as we meet here, they're engaged in other meetings. Let's bring them before the Lord tonight. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the one that is worthy at thy right hand. Our blessed Redeemer and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He's the altogether lovely one. He's the fairest of 10,000 to our soul. He's precious to those who believe. And we thank thee for all that we have in Christ and all that he means to us who believe. It is in his name and upon his merit that we seek thee now at this gospel meeting. As we come before the presence of God, we uphold only Jesus Christ as our means of access to thee. We pray for this company of people as they've come to the house of God this evening. We pray for this weekend as it comes to a conclusion tonight. We thank thee for all that has gone before, the preaching of the word last night and our brother Douglas this morning. We thank thee for the harvest again, the goodness of God, his faithfulness. We can say, great is thy faithfulness. Thank thee for your loving kindness towards us again in this western part of the world. The harvest has been gathered in, and around us in the church tonight we have the tokens of this goodness of God towards us. We are reminded that the goodness of God ought to lead us to repentance. And Father, the fact that you've been good in so many ways, even in temporal, physical ways, should be the means of making us think about God, because we know that every gift comes from thee. Every blessing that we enjoy in a temporal, physical fashion is from the Lord. And these mercies ought to provoke thought in our minds and hearts to consider the God who has given to us all things to enjoy. And more than that, you've given to us Christ. You've given to us the gospel. We thank thee for the good news that Christ Jesus has died for sinners. We bless thee that you did not leave mankind in his sin. But when Adam fell from that holy estate in which he was created, God provided a remedy. And he purposed, and he so purposed from all eternity, that there would be one who would come forth into time to be the Redeemer, the Messiah, the one who would fully represent sinful man in his life and in his death. In my place, condemned, he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. And such a thought provokes us to cry in our heart, and yes, even now in prayer audibly, hallelujah, what a Savior. We thank thee for all Christ came to do. And Lord, we're here tonight because of that. And we have a message to proclaim. We have a gospel to share. And Lord, we're very conscious that throughout the land, there are similar gatherings like this in our own sister congregations and in other faithful meeting houses where your word will be proclaimed. And Lord, we think of the students that are elsewhere this evening. Think of Jonathan and Margaret Felt. We think of Greg as he gives his testimony in Ballinahinch. We want to commit these young men to thee as they serve the Lord tonight. What a privilege it is to serve the Lord. Fill them with the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, that's what we all need in these days of coldness and apathy, when the spiritual tide in so many parts of the world has gone out. We need the breath of God again. We need the manifestation of God, the power of the Lord to come and visit our nation. Lord, visit this people. Lord, let that revival that we often pray for begin in us, in our hearts. Help us to examine ourselves as the Scripture exhorts us to do. And Lord, help us to put right anything that needs to be put right. And gracious God, bring us into the place of blessing. Bring us into the place of fruitfulness. As we think of the harvest, we know that there is the spiritual harvest. There is the ingathering of the sheaves to the garner of Christ. And Lord, we want to see that. We want days of reaping. We pray that there will be a reaping time tonight, even in many a heart that's gathered here and those that are listening on with us on the internet. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon the congregation. You did it in bygone days. We think of that time when the Holy Ghost fell upon the people that Peter preached to, those Gentile people. There was the great manifestation of his power in their midst, and they knew it. Oh, we pray that that same Spirit will come tonight and fall upon us. And may God be glorified and magnified as a result. We think of our sister Margaret Russell facing surgery tomorrow. We do commit her to thee. We pray that the good hand of the Lord will be upon her as she goes down into the operating theater as this surgery is performed. guide the one whose responsibility it is to carry it out, and may it be a success. We remember Desi Moore too, later on in the month, as he has surgery also, that will bring him through it to the glory of God. And so, be with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing another hymn tonight, another harvest-themed hymn, 257. After the sowing of sin is all done, after the glory of earth has been won, after the sands of thy life have all run, oh, what shall thy reaping be? So there is a reaping time. There's a sowing time. There's a reaping time. It most certainly will take place in time and in the great eternity. Think of the words. They're very solemn words of great challenge as we sing them together. Welcome to to the harvest service tonight, to the congregation here, and to the audience that we have on Sermon Audio and Facebook. If you're visiting with us, we have a few visitors, a very warm word of welcome to you. Dr. and Mrs. Cairns have not been with us this weekend. They've been getting over a bad cold that they've suffered from. And he did send his greetings to the harvest weekend and to the preachers that were with us this day. So do remember him. He will be taking up some duties now in Uganda and preaching for the next 4 weeks over there, doing it remotely. But they've got a great setup. They're able to project it up on the screen, and so you get a big size of the preacher that everybody can see. I wish I had that facility in Pakistan, because I'm doing it on the phone, and so is the people. You couldn't really do it on the screen because it's outdoors, the sun is very bright, but all the lady has is her phone, and that's all the congregation sees. But Uganda's got a better setup, and we do pray that Dr. Cairns will know the help of God as he labours now over the next few weeks there. Again, we thank the ladies who did the decorating of the church, did it so tastefully, and to those who provided all the things that you see tonight to make our surroundings pleasant, but also to remind us God is good and his mercy endureth forever, and he's been good to us in the harvest in giving us such things. The prayer meeting for the Sunday school teachers is tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The midweek service for our own congregation is 8 o'clock on Thursday night, when we continue with our series, Hindrances to Prayer. Friday night is youth fellowship at 8 o'clock. And again, we've been encouraged to see the youth fellowship grow. Only back 2 weeks, but there has been a little bit of a growth. And if you haven't made it yet and you're a young person, secondary school age and upwards, we will be delighted to see you on Friday nights. Who is Jesus is the topic, and his names will be spoken upon by Greg Gibson this coming Friday. Now, Friday is also the Missionary Council. The Missionary Council has not met for quite a few months, certainly since lockdown. And we're getting back here in Hebron Friday night, and we want to thank the men that are able to come in and make sure that our members get seated nice and safely. We rise on the Sabbath day to pray together at 8 o'clock. And again, we're encouraged by the numbers that are coming to seek the Lord. It's, as you would say, a very powerful start to the Sabbath day, getting here with God, that group of people seeking him on behalf of the day, particularly that is ahead. We want to encourage more to join us, young and old, middle-aged, whoever you are, and you've got a desire to see God working in these days. 8 o'clock is the prayer meeting. Sunday school, 10:45, Bible class at the same time, and the annual Bible conference will commence next Lord's Day, 12:00 and 7:00. Pastor Dennis Lyle is the guest preacher. Remember us as we travel to Annalong. Some time ago, it was the plan to have a mission there when the Reverend Gray and myself would do the mission a week each, and that fell through because of the illness of the minister, and then it fell through again because of COVID-19. But a few meetings have been arranged in the incoming week. I hope to be in Annalong in the will of God on Tuesday night, and then next Lord's Day morning, and the Reverend Gray, likewise, he'll be doing a few meetings. So I know they would appreciate you remembering us in prayer as the gospel is preached in Mourne. We hope to be in Tamragee Harvest on the Sunday night. The subjects dealt with over the week, the overall subject, first of all, problems on the pathway of life, and Pastor Dennis Lyle will be taking these subjects night by night. As I said, we'll make mention of them on Thursday evening. Again, thank you for your tithes. There's no offering lifted publicly. Collection plates, I think you know, are at the door. Let the Bible Speak calendars for 2021 are now available. They are £3.50 each, and all the proceeds go to this ministry of getting the gospel across the airwaves through Let the Bible Speak. Now we have a couple of special prayer requests. First of all, for Alejandro, Vanessa, and their family, leaving tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock as they travel to Spain. as God's servant takes up his ministry there. We want you, we know that you will be remembering them. And we don't envy the task of Ivor and I think Diane, as they will take them to the airport in the morning and bid farewell to them. We trust that the Lord will travel with them as they go, give them a safe journey. I think they're going to Alicante, first of all, for a few days, and then onwards to Cortegas Nuevas. So you will remember this family, please, particularly in these days. Mention in prayer about her sister, Miss Margaret Russell. She had a couple of injuries when she was in Kenya. Surgery was done, but this problem has surfaced again, and Margaret is standing greatly in need of further surgery, and that, God willing, will happen tomorrow. So do remember her as she travels to Belfast to get this done. We made an appeal this morning and also on Friday night for an outreach board. We're looking for a handyman, a joiner, to do this work for our brother Philip Knowles. I'm mentioning again tonight, for I know that some people are thinking about it, but nobody's mentioned it to me yet. You haven't had the opportunity. But please do tonight or text me. Let me know if you can do this. A few clearer pictures of the congregation that I preached to this morning in Pakistan. And we are grateful to you for remembering this work in prayer. Everywhere they go, they get a meal, just a little rice dish to help them. Some people hadn't eaten for a while, and they were so thankful to get that meal today. And then we talked about the young disabled boy who got the sewing machine. This is going to give him something to do, and this was delivered to him today when our sister traveled. There's another group of people that our mission board chairman is in touch with, also in Pakistan, and this is part of the group. He's had the opportunity to preach to these people on a number of occasions, maybe 70 in all, and they have also been helped recently in the past few days with some food to encourage them. So these are all matters for prayer, and we thank you, the congregation, for thinking about these people as the gospel goes forth. 233 is our third hymn. We're going to do something different. We're going to give the opportunity to stand this time just to change your position. You won't have to lift your neck just so far if you're at the front. You'll be nearer the screen when you stand up to your feet. And it is the hymn, Come Believing. Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? You've heard the gospel message this weekend, and you'll hear it again tonight. And the question is, it really is an important question. Will you heed the invitation? The invitation that God gives. Will you turn and seek the Lord? Will you do that tonight and come to know him? How do you come? You come in faith. We are saved through faith in Christ. Come believing, come to Jesus, look and live. Once again, the gospel message. If you can remember that, I hope I do, we'll sing it. Come believing, Christ receiving, on the line of the third line of the chorus. Thank you. Turning to Jeremiah chapter 8 for our Bible reading. It's quite funny this morning in those hymns that I gave to Dr. Douglas, and there is always a story behind that. I wasn't able to get up afterwards and explain myself, but if you knew what we did every Sunday, we send the organist and the pianist the hymns, and the first ones are always the worship service. But you see, this was the harvest weekend, and there were three services. So when he asked me, what hymns are you singing today? I said, well, I'll just look them up. We've got a harvest theme the whole weekend. And I looked them up, and quite confidently, I just looked at the first three, which was Saturday night. And I gave them to him. And then, of course, he was a little bit troubled and perplexed. Every hymn was not the hymn that I had told him. But that's how it happened. And I twigged it on, sort of, when it came to the second hymn. These are different. Really enjoyed his ministry this morning. For a man of 85, I think he is now, he's certainly preaching well with a good, clear mind and with the power of God resting upon his ministry. And as I said this morning, we are indebted to him. The whole denomination is, and students that were at the college when he was there, we did learn so much from him and benefited in his classes every time we sat in them, and he had a great influence upon all the students back then. Now we're going to read just a few verses at the end of Jeremiah chapter 8, from verse 18, just these final five verses. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? We'll bow together, please, in a word of prayer. Father, there is balm in Gilead, and there is a physician there. And we know that this preeminently points to Christ, the great physician, the great balm for the sinner. We thank thee that the Lord is able. And Lord, health, spiritual health can be restored, and sinners can be forgiven and saved. But we feel in our hearts that men are doing the wrong thing. They are walking on dangerous ground by a continual rejection of the Lord Jesus as Savior. Until we finally come to this moment of which our text tonight speaks. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And the terrible confession has to be made. We are not saved. And as your servant pointed out last night, the force of this is we cannot be saved if we get to this place. And so, Lord, as a solemn warning this evening, we pray that it will be received, that it will be backed home by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can only reach the physical ear. As our brother Douglas said this morning, God reaches the heart. That's where the Spirit moves. That's where the Holy Ghost does his work. Oh, for the wind of God to come and blow upon the hearts of sinners, like the wind of which Jesus spoke in John chapter 3. The wind bloweth where it listeth, We cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Lord, that's the operation that we're praying for tonight, the operation of the Holy Ghost. Help the preacher and bless those that sit and listen here in the church and at home, wherever they might be. May God be honored and Christ glorified as a result of this harvest weekend and this service in which we gather just now for Jesus' sake. Amen. And so the 20th verse is the text tonight. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Mr. Martin said last night that he was a townie, and he had to confess a lot last night. He did talk about chickens laying eggs. I think hens lay eggs and chickens are for eating. I might be corrected in that. But I look back personally with some delight and fondness to many occasions that I spent out on a farm that belonged to the late Willie Haffey. He was an elder in Portadown, and oftentimes I was able to visit his farm. I grew up with his sons, and I went to their home in my teenage years. So I know a little bit, just a little bit about farming. I know what a cow's tail is. I know the difference between a bullock and a heifer. You probably all do. This is cow town, so Ballymoney's blessed with a good agricultural background. Many times I've stood in the milking parlor as the dairy herd lined up to give their milk. But it wasn't only a farm of cows and cattle. For this family worked the land and they produced the crop. Down by the banks of the River Bann and beside the shores of Loch Ness, they grew about 100 acres of barley. And often I walked through those fields. I've watched the golden stalks sway in the summer breeze as the harvest time approached. And no greater delight was given to me than to be in the fields at the reaping time and to watch the combine roar down the lines of barley, cutting and threshing and separating the seed. And I look back to those days of outdoor farm life with pleasure and satisfaction, and the memories linger on to this very day. This time of the year sees a great change as we pass from the summertime into the wintertime in the autumn season. The cold and the wind and the wet set in, as we're only too aware of during the past few weeks. We observe the difference in climate and temperature. We watch the leaves change color and fall from the trees. And we are reminded, in the very words of our text tonight, the harvest is past, the summer is ended. No longer do we observe the fields of white and green swaying gently in the summer sun. The roar of the combine is silent. The harvesting machinery lies still in the farm shed. Why? Because the harvest is past and the summer is ended. Summertime is the season of sunshine, brightness, and opportunity when the seed sown is nourished and cared for. It speaks of a time when all is well, clear, and pleasant. Harvest time is the season of reaping and rejoicing when the seed grown is gathered safely in. But it's over. It's finished. It's completed. The harvest of this year is past and this summer is ended. And this weekend we are conducting these special harvest Thanksgiving services. The church has been decorated with the tokens of God's goodness to remind us of the faithfulness of God again in this country at the harvest time. Our sister deep from Pakistan was watching what was happening. She was either watching the service or she was looking at the photographs that were put up. And she wrote to me and she said, "Your church has got a lot of fruit and vegetables in it. What does that mean?" And I was able to tell her why, as we think of how good God has been to us. You see, God has promised, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And his word has stood fast, and his promise has not failed. The storehouses are filled with grain and produce. And tonight we say this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. But the harvest is past, and the summer is ended. Our text has something very profound, yet simple to teach us. God is reminding us here that what is true in the physical realm is true in the spiritual. In the sowing of the gospel seed and the gathering in of those spiritual sheaves, God gives a summer season and a harvest time. But the text reminds us that the spiritual summer and the spiritual harvest comes to its final conclusion. And many will arrive at that place where they will cry from the very depths of their soul in this lamentable cry of our text, "And we are not saved." Harvest is past. Summer's ended. And we're not saved. Many around you have passed through the time of harvest, and their souls have been reaped for the glory of God and unto eternal life. But you are not saved. The summer of God's salvation is almost gone. The very last sheaf is almost garnered. But you are not saved. The cry of our text describes the awful portion of those who have wasted the many gracious opportunities. And they are found at the end of their life, unprepared, unrenewed, unregenerated, and unsaved. And so tonight I want to preach on the awful confession of a doomed soul, because that's what this text is. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. I want you to see, first of all, that there is the opportunity that is extended. And we want to mark the two words, summer and harvest. Our text testifies to the goodness and the grace of God in giving to us a summer and a harvest. We don't deserve these things, these seasons. Not at all. We don't deserve the least of all the mercies of God, and yet He has given to us the summer and the harvest. God has been good to you. He has given to you gracious periods of summertime and harvest. There are certain seasons which may be called in a very special way the soul's summertime. That's the time of spiritual privilege. Now, what are they? Well, there's the summer days of youth. That's the hopeful season. Every Lord's Day, we're so glad to see so many children and young people in our church. And for you growing up, and it was for us when we were children and young people growing up, that's the hopeful season. God loves the first ripe fruits. He loves young prayers, young tears, young faith, young love, young desires, as you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 tells us to remember now thy Creator. When? In the days of thy youth. And that's what God says, and that's what God desires. Young people, God wants you to remember Him in your early days. And you want to think about the childhood privileges that have been given to you. Countless. You've lost count of them. But certainly we can speak about the soul's summertime and remind you about the summer days of youth. And then we have the summer days of opportunities. God is good in that He has multiplied opportunities to you in order for you to be saved. You know, the Bible tells us that He's long-suffering. Aren't you glad tonight that the God who watches down upon this world and watches down upon you tonight in this meeting is a long-suffering God? He's long-suffering, Peter tells us, to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Time and time again, he offers his grace to you. How many times? You've lost count. If you've been coming to a gospel preaching church from your infancy, you will have to say this evening, hundreds and hundreds of opportunities have been given to me. It's been the summertime for you in this respect. And then, of course, there's the summer days of invitations. His mercy has extended many invitations to the sinner to come. The Lord says afresh to you, come. And he said to you over the years of your life, come. Come to Christ. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, for all things are now ready. Come unto the marriage. Speaking here about the gospel, receiving Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. These are the gracious invitations of the Lord as he bids sinners to come. It's his invitation. It's the summertime. We think of the summer days of reason and knowledge. God graciously informs us through his word as we read it that we need to be saved. You're not in ignorance tonight. You're not living in some dark part of the world where the gospel is not known, where Christ's name is not proclaimed. No, you're living in gospel preaching Ulster, and you're familiar with these things. You've got a knowledge of the gospel. And my friends, that's a tremendous privilege that you know these things. And it's the summer days of knowledge for you. What about the summer days of privileges? He has bestowed his blessings in numerous ways. You've got family members who are saved. What a blessing it is to be brought up in a Christian home. And I say to young people, never despise that upbringing. Never you for one moment think it's any kind of disadvantage as you go through life, as you go through your school days, that you've got a Christian mother and a Christian father who cares for you, who loves you, who desires to see you saved. It's one of the highest privileges afforded to any young person to have a mother and father in Christ and parents who are concerned for the salvation and the well-being of their children when it comes to eternal things. Think of the prayers that have been offered on your behalf. Yes, first and foremost by a godly mother and father and other members of the family. Tears too shed on your behalf as they have wept before God for your salvation. What a mighty privilege that is. And you know your Bible. You've come to Sunday school. You've come to children's meetings. You've attended services in this house. And the Bible is something that you're familiar with. You have it in your hand tonight. You certainly have it in your home. It's the summertime. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what this text is teaching? The summer days of privileges. And then there are seasons or occasions when we can classify those certain occasions as the soul's harvest time. It's the season of reaping and the gathering in of the sheaves. Speaking now, as the Lord does in his word, borrowing from the physical to teach the spiritual. We're speaking about the gathering in of the spiritual sheaves unto Christ. And what are these harvest times? Well, certainly we can say there's the harvest days of preaching. When Christ crucified is set before the hearers, before the congregation with holy fervor and feeling. We have gospel missions, gospel meetings, just like this one, and these are special times. You've got to see that. When a mission is held, maybe for a 2-week period, sometimes 3 weeks, and going back in our history even for 6 weeks at a time, it's a time when Jesus is passing by and a special opportunity is being given to men to be saved, and souls are converted to Christ. Jesus is passing that way. Even in weekly meetings like this, souls get saved, a day of reaping. In such times, God comes very near. The old truths of the gospel are solemnly impressed upon the mind and soul of those who gather to listen. And then we can speak about the harvest days of conviction. When there's a noise and a shaking among the dry bones. What a powerful illustration is given to us in Ezekiel 37 of the valley of dry bones. So dead as dead could be, lying there for years, exposed to the elements, exposed to the sun. And these bones are so dry, you would look at them and you would say, it's impossible that life could ever come to those bones. And yet, you remember through the preaching of the prophet and the praying of the prophet, there's a noise, there's a shaking, there's a coming together of the bones. And it certainly speaks of the convicting work of God as God begins to stir those that are dead in their trespasses and in their sins. When God is working, convicting and converting souls. And there are times when the Holy Ghost seems to work in greater power in the strivings of the Spirit than at other times. This is a harvest season. And then I want to mention the harvest days of providence. When God is visiting mankind with alarming providences, then the inhabitants of the earth should learn righteousness. Sudden death, sudden destruction, sudden accidents. Brother last night reminded us of the Arnold family and the young man of 24 in their home who met with that accident just a couple of months ago. Thank God he was saved and he's in heaven today. But you know, when such dark providence occurs, it's not just the saved can be taken like that. Very often the unsaved are cut down in a moment. And when that happens round about us, it's a time when God is giving opportunities for men to be saved and for a harvest time to take place as he comes very near and he speaks in dark times such as this. Or when illness comes. There are people, and they are more vulnerable to coronavirus than others. We've seen that. We've listened to stories right here in Northern Ireland where people have been so sick, put in ventilators. Families have not had contact with them. Maybe one phone call a day from a nurse or a doctor just to tell them how they are. We learned that 50% of the people that were put on ventilators did not make it. Certainly back in the time of lockdown, that was happening. That's a dark providence. And God speaks. I tell you, my friends, if that was you, and you were given the opportunity to ring your family members for the last time before you were put on a ventilator, it ought to make you sit up. It ought to make you take stock. It ought to make you think about your soul and the possibility of death and eternity coming to you. It's a dark providence of God that God uses. It's an opportunity. It's a harvest day of his providence. But I want you to notice, secondly, the finality that is expressed in this text, because two more words to notice here. The word past and the word ended. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. There comes a time when the season of opportunity is over. The cry is not made when the fields are still ripening for the harvest. The cry is not made at the rising and the coming of the summer sun. No, the summer has sped to its conclusion. The sheaves have been cut and the harvest has been gathered in. And alas, the last summer has fled forever and the last harvest is finally gathered in. And so this cry goes up, the harvest is past, the summer is ended. This lamentation is made when the day of opportunity was gone forever. The seasons of grace will soon pass away because the harvest has its limitation. Now, how can the day of opportunity be lost forever? What happens when the harvest is past and the summer is ended for the souls of men? How can that take place? Well, first of all, by the withdrawal of the Holy Spirit of God. God warns in His Word, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." Showing us clearly that God is pleased to strive with man. He's pleased to speak. He's pleased to work in hearts and draw man to Himself. But that will not always take place. "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." Men can miss the harvest who have had the Holy Spirit striving long with them, but they have resisted His striving and they have repelled Him. And what happens? Very often, the Spirit of God leaves the individual. Oh, you better waken up tonight to realize this is a reality. It's happened. We know of it happening. "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." And so there is the withdrawal of the Holy Spirit of God. It can also happen by men persisting in sin. Those who continue in their sinful pursuits and they harden themselves against God can miss the harvest. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." No remedy here. Can also come by mocking God. Those who mock the offer of the gospel and despise those who bring the offer of the gospel can be lost forever. There's a very powerful example of that in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 16. "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy." What an awful thing to be written here in the history of Israel. Until there was no remedy, because the harvest is past and the summer has ended. And how did it take place? They mocked the Lord and they mocked the messengers of God. You be very careful what you do. It can also pass, can also be missed by mental turmoil. We have heard of those in the past who have been privileged with the summer and the harvest over and over again, and they have rejected it over and over again. And their mind has got into such a mental turmoil that they have not been able to think clearly about their soul, about their destiny, about their need of God's salvation, and what has happened. They've missed it forever. There's no remedy, no going back. It can happen by neglect. They promise themselves time. They regard death and eternity as distant. Is that you tonight? If you think about death at all, if you think about eternity at all, do you say, "Well, it's way out there"? You don't think it's going to come to you tonight. You don't think it's going to come tomorrow or in the incoming week. No, when you think about these things, especially those that are relatively young, you say it's a way out there. It's somewhere in the distant future of years to go. And you're just like Felix, who heard the gospel from one of the greatest preachers that ever walked in this world, the great apostle Paul, who reasoned with this man in righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And after the reasoning of the preacher and all the persuasion that he set before him and those great truths that he brought to his attention, Felix trembled. But he didn't come to Christ. No, he says, "Go thy way for this time. When I've got a convenient season, I will call for thee." And so he is putting off his salvation because he was promising himself the future, the distant time. My death and my eternity is not now. And I'm going to wait for that more convenient season, which incidentally we never read came for Felix. And by all accounts, he died in his sin and was lost forever because the harvest passed for Felix by neglect. And of course, it can come by death. When you die, it's over. There's no second chance. There's no salvation after death. When you go out into eternity, that's it. You've missed it forever. Your harvest truly has passed and your summer truly has ended. That brings me on to my third and final point tonight. There is the tragedy exclaimed here. Oh, listen to it. And we are not saved. Once a person has neglected the opportunities and played around with their soul's salvation and missed the harvest time and missed the summer time, they are doomed forever. The calamitous cry will be, "We're not saved." In other words, it's too late. How dreadful is the end of those who have lost all their opportunities of salvation. Now, this confession is short, isn't it? And it's very solemn, and it's throbbing with tragedy. And we are not saved. Such a confession is tragic in the ordinary earthly settings, isn't it? Here's a ship which is drifting from anchorage to doom. Here's a thundering express which swerves from the track. Here's a building, and it's shattered by some terrible catastrophe. Those in that ship are faced with impending doom. And those in that train are faced with impending doom. And those in that building likewise, impending doom. And they cry out, "We are not saved." And even in that setting, this confession strikes a solemn note. I was just thinking today about what it must have been on 9/11. Seen the pictures and the footage on the media when it happened. Do you remember where you were on 9/11? I can remember the home that I was in. I was with our brother Albert, and we were visiting two elderly ladies that I ever only met once in my life, and it was that day, and the news was just coming in that this was happening, and when we got home, we came home to the full realization of what happened that day. I saw the sights of those people in the upper stories of the Twin Towers especially. And I tell you, they could cry out, "We're not saved. There's no hope for us here." We saw them jump to their death, many of them. Almost 3,000 people killed in 9/11. And then just recently, I was thinking about the Beirut blast or the bombing that took place there. Over 200 people killed, 6,500 people injured. It happened so suddenly. If they even got the opportunity to cry, they could have cried, "We're not saved. Nothing we can do here." There is, however, no comparison between that confession, the confession of what happens in a physical sense, to the confession that is spoken about here in my text. My text is not dealing with a physical calamity. It's not dealing with some temporal impending doom. My text is speaking of everlasting dismay, everlasting doom, and everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Here is a soul long preached to, who has sat under the great agency and ministry of the Spirit of God, who has been stirred to the very depths with the operation of the gospel of grace. And that soul has resisted God. That soul has trifled with divine things. That soul has played around with sin. That soul has turned its back willfully, stubbornly, and everlastingly upon God. that soul stands on the very precipice of eternity, and the doors of eternity swing wide, and that soul leaves the body of clay and takes its flight out into the great unknown, out into the great expanse of eternity. And I hear the echo coming back from the regions of the damned. And I'm not saved. I'm not saved. What a tragedy. I tell you, that's a tragedy. No space for repentance. No ear for prayer. No fountain of blood to cleanse. No cross. No mercy. No pardon. No forgiveness. Not saved. Well, what does that mean? It means you're lost forever. The opportunity is gone forever. The day of grace is over. The preacher's voice is silent. The pleadings of Christ have finished. And the dealings of the Holy Spirit have ceased. And that soul without Christ must perish without remedy. Awakened at last to the interests of their souls, but awakened too late. Not saved. And not saved forever. How many in this meeting, in all honesty before God, in full light of God's eternity, having received all the gracious opportunities, having received all his invitations, having heard all the pleadings, having felt all the strivings, will have to say, and we are not saved. It is solemn that the years roll on, and still you're not saved. Now is the harvest. Don't you wait until this day. Because, my friends, when the harvest is past and the summer has ended, there's no going back. And it means there's no remedy and there's no salvation. And you will lament for all eternity, not saved. But I want to tell you, we're in the day of grace. We're in the season of opportunity. And this is the harvest season. This is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today, if you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you, my friends, the Bible tells you and me, harden not your heart. This is an opportunity moment tonight at the close of this harvest service. Don't miss the summer of opportunity. Don't miss the harvest of souls. And don't get to the place of our text. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And you have to lament in the depths of your soul, I'm not saved. You come to Christ. Come believing. Come receiving. Come without delay. Come right now. As we bow together in prayer, let us pray. Lord, we know that the harvest time, the conclusion of it in the physical sense, is a wonderful time. The reaping has taken place and the harvest has been gathered in, and we rejoice in the goodness of God. But it's past, it's over. And Lord, you remind us that in the spiritual realm, this will also be so. We come to the end of the summer. We come to the finality of the harvest, and that's it. It's doom. It's destruction forever. Oh, gracious God, speak to hearts. We do pray in Jesus' name. May they trifle not with their soul. Lord, we even hear the sound of an emergency vehicle going to somewhere tonight where there's trouble. It could be any one of us with the next step that we take, the next breath that we inhale. Oh, make men sit up and realize that they need to be saved. May they not leave it until it's too late. As they look around the church tonight, they see the tokens of the harvest and the goodness of God. Lord, make them think about the spiritual harvest, the reaping time, the season of opportunity, which is now. Don't let them ever get to that place where they'll have to say in the words of our text, when we are not saved, for that's final. Bring them to Christ. Lord, do it tonight. Give grace, Lord, we need grace to turn from sin unto the Savior. We leave the issues of this harvest weekend now with thee, and very particularly the issues of this service in which we gather. Work for your glory. Separate us with your blessing. And remember Alex and Vanessa and the wee family as they leave in the morning and they start their journey for Spain and the whole future ministry of your servant there. Make him a blessing in that land. Give him, Lord, harvest times, reaping times, for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.